The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Donald Skehan, hello to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Do you happen to have a timer handy by any chance?
I don't, but I could get one.
Because the reason I was saying that, I was going to say, well, I'll do the timing. And when we're finishing wrapping up this interview, I'm going to tell you how long we've been talking for. And I want you then to immediately tell me what sort of meal you could have rustled up in the time that we've been talking.
I love that you've got so into the show that that's where your mind is going, Matt.
Well, I want to see if it could be 10 minutes, it could be 15 minutes. So you never know what I might actually ask you about at the end of it all. Of course, you're back on television on RT1 with Meals in Minutes. And I suppose this very much appeals to your generation, isn't it? The people who maybe come in at the end of the day, couldn't be bothered or couldn't be arsed to spend hours cooking and who want to get something done in 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, my biggest reason for creating the show was I've been traveling last year trying to find a place to live out in Los Angeles. And I was in Airbnbs all through last year. And the one thing I was aware of was that not everyone has a large amount of kitchen equipment or large store cupboard ingredients. And for me, you know, I was coming home and I was coming to a kitchen that didn't, you know, wasn't prepared for cooking. And so in some ways, you know, it was coming up with recipes that could just be done really quickly with using minimal ingredients and minimal equipment. And so when I pitched the idea to our sponsors, Spar and RT, they gave us the go ahead. And we've had a great reaction so far. So
hold
I'm thrilled.
On. Tell us about the Airbnbs that you've gone to, though. I mean, how restricted have you been in the kitchen? How little do many people have in their kitchen?
Well, that's the amazing thing and the brilliance of it. And I suppose my, you know, realization was that you would go into one kitchen and it might just have a pot and a pan and nothing else bar a hob. And then you go into another kitchen that might have a few store cupboard ingredients that might have a little bit more, a blender or something like that. So you just I just started realizing how limited some of the kitchens out there were. And I think in some ways I've been cooking on TV for the last 8 or 9 years, and you know, the idea of coming up with recipes that, you know, really speak to an audience, just it seems so obvious, but yet, you know, you're pressured into a theme and you're pressured to do something else. And with this series, it really was about speaking to the audience out there that really are looking for recipes that come quickly, you know, and that can produce a great meal at the end of the day.
Okay, but what should be the minimum that anyone should have in their kitchen equipment wise?
Well, I mean, we did the episode that went, our first episode of the show was all about one pot wonders. And, you know, we did five brilliant recipes that, you know, took all you need is one pan that has a lid. And so you can create five really great dinners. And I mean, proper dinners that you feel full from, all with the one piece of equipment. So, I mean, even if you're struggling and you've never cooked before, you know, you can do it with one pan, you know, and I think, I hope that we've proved it in the first episode. But, you know, I think going forward, you know, it's about really building out your kitchen, and it's about being realistic about what you actually need in the kitchen.
Okay, you know, well, tell me what you need. What sort of hardware do you need in the kitchen? How many pots and pans do you need? What sort of things should you always have in the cupboard to add flavour to foods, depending on what you decide you might want to do?
Well, it's a really interesting, because I've just moved into a new house and I've just had to do exactly that, you know, coming up with what's essential for the kitchen. So, I mean, in my store cupboard at the moment, I have one big pot, I have two frying pans, and I have a sort of shallower pot as well. All of them have lids. They're all handy to have. I have a chopping board. I have a few knives. And, you know, that's my core kitchen equipment. And then in my other kind of press, for my roasting tins, I have two larger roasting tins, two smaller ones. That's my basics. And you can work off that very easily. Then I go to my store cupboard, which I'm actually doing right now. I spend a little bit of money any time I'm moving into a place where I will go out and spend about 40 or 50 quid on the basics that I'm talking about, the spice cupboard and the balsamic vinegars and the oils and things like that. If you have that in the house, all you need to do is pick up your fresh ingredients, you know, things like veggies and meat and things like that. If you have those sort of store cupboard ingredients like chickpeas and grains and lentils, then you have the basics for a meal that when you come home, it makes life a lot easier.
And when you're going to all your Airbnbs, how often do you find that people don't have those store cupboard essentials?
Well, thankfully, we found a home, and we're not in the Airbnbs anymore. But it was amazing to see that wasn't the case. You know, people haven't done that kind of basic shop, and so when it comes to coming up with dinners, it becomes a lot more difficult to create something out of nothing. So we actually have one episode during the show where it's all about five ingredients, because that was one of the, you know, in one of the Airbnbs, literally there was nothing bar a pot and a pan. And, you know, you'd have to go out to the shops and literally pick up something, you know, pick up five ingredients that you could create a full meal out of. And, with that episode, it's a challenge. It is a challenge to come up with that, but it can be done. And I think, you know, that was where, as a food writer, you know, it really was a challenge to come up with these sorts of recipes. And in some ways, you know, you think you can't do it, and you think, you know, you're limiting yourself. But there's some great meals that you can come up with just based on five ingredients.
You write for the Irish Times, you write books, you do RT television series, you're on the food channel, you do YouTube. Do you ever get a chance to cook for enjoyment for yourself anymore? Is it always work?
I do. And actually, you know, the one thing that killed me last year was that we didn't have that set base. And so when you had downtime, you weren't able to kind of enjoy the kitchen as I would have done when we were back in Dublin. So, you know, even last night we cooked a gorgeous meal, a very, very meals and minutes vibe to it, which was basically a lamb steak with chickpea, tomato and kale stew. And we baked up some Swedish cinnamon buns because it was the Swedish National Day the other day. So we had to celebrate that for my wife.
OK, now let me ask you a really silly question. But how does a chef make sure he doesn't become fat?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say if I was working in restaurants like a real chef was, you know, I think I'd be picking up food all the time. But I mean, I get the opportunity to cook at home and test recipes and things like that. So from my point of view, I just manage it, you know, and I think it's all about balance, really. I love my food, and, you know, I'm a real food lover. And so it really is a case of, you know, eating what you want, but really keeping conscious of what's going into your body and also eating healthily. You know,
well, that's what I was going to come to, because it's two things, I suppose, in relation to that: portion sizes, and particularly when you're cooking as well, to avoid picking at things as you're cooking or as you're waiting for something to be ready, but also the healthy type of foods that you eat. You mentioned something like kale, which has become so fashionable in recent years. But are there lots of foods that you might like the taste of, that you could do great things with, which you don't because you regard them as being perhaps a little bit unhealthy for you?
I think, you know, when you look at portion size and things, I mean, it's something even, you know, as a cook, you want to constantly kind of taste as you're going, because it is essential to really creating flavorful food. But I think looking at, you know, at how you approach it is really important, and looking at basically what you're putting in, you know, your overall weekly plan. And I know this sounds pedantic, but I think, you know, coming up with a weekly plan is one of the key ways of eating more healthy. It also saves money and creates less waste in the kitchen. So from my point of view, what we try and do when we have the time is to come up with a weekly meal plan, because in that way you can actually pre-plan and plan your meals in advance. And in that way, you essentially kind of make better food choices.
But how often then do you go to the supermarket or your local grocery store? Are you a once a week shopper because you've planned out for the week? Or do you go a number of times during the week so as to get the freshest food possible?
I tend to go and do our big shop once a week, and then we'll pick up things as we go, as we need them. But, you know, and I'm sure this is the case for most people, they're time strapped, and, you know, they don't have the time to run at the shops all the time. So from our point of view, we try and plan out our meals so that we only have to do that with one big shop and then pick up what other fresh ingredients we need at the time.
Do you ever eat processed food?
I do. You know, I think, look, my approach to food is all about balance. And I think, you know, I'd be lying to you to say that I didn't, you know, and I think most people have had, I mean, in this day and age, processed foods are part of, you know, part of our culture. But, you know, choosing what you eat and when you eat it, I think you have to take a balanced approach to how you eat. And, you know, if you want to indulge in something that's processed, by all means do it. But, you know, be aware of what's going into your body. And really, you know, the labels on foods are quite important as well. So, you know, being aware of what's in on that ingredient list is quite important.
So what are in your scoff pies? Because they are, to a degree, processed foods, aren't they?
I knew this is where we were going with this. But no, again, this is a situation, you know, it is something that comes up quite regularly. And, you know, scoff pies are processed, you know, but my parents are, it's a family business that run it. We make them ourselves. And they are choosing the best quality ingredients. And actually, the process of developing the pies was quite an interesting one in terms of learning about, you know, e-numbers and learning about the different sort of elements that go into food packaging. You know, things like turmeric are an e-number, where we all have this fear of what e-numbers are. So I think having a slightly better understanding of what's going into that food is and understanding the packaging laws and requirements is quite an interesting aspect to food development. But, you know, look, processed food is always going to be a part of our culture. But, you know, choosing choosing the best possible route to it is really important.
You mentioned turmeric as an e-number. What exactly is turmeric and why does it go into the food?
Turmeric is a spice, and it's basically it's a fantastic spice. It's one that gives you a sort of earthy flavor. It's a coloring. It's used as a coloring, and it's one of those things that it's regarded as an E number. But you can there's plenty of different aspects to the E numbers, and there's good and bad ones.
What's a good E number and what's a bad E number? How is somebody supposed to know?
Well, I guess that's, you have to do a little bit more research. And I guess that's where packaging, becomes important and having a better understanding. And I think, the aspect of that is something that is really worth putting a bit of time and energy into.
OK, you're doing so much at the moment. Tell us a little bit more about the YouTube work you're doing, because I'm sure people over here are familiar with you from your RT television series, as I said, The Irish Times, the books and whatever. But is the future in food presentation going to be things like the YouTube channel?
I think, from our point of view, the YouTube channel has been something that we've grown quite considerably. It's, we have 500,000 subscribers on our channel, and it is something that we've kind of taken to, and possibly the reason we've moved to the States, because it tends to be a lot of the creators end up out here. And from that point of view, the control aspect of what you have to kind of create content, YouTube gives you that, where you might be a little bit more, you might struggle a little bit more when you're speaking to, broadcasters. So in that sense, that's why it has been appealing to us. And I think when you look at how it's growing, those sorts of, people are getting to having the opportunity to kind of choose the content that they view. And, proof of that is like, over the top sort of offerings like Netflix and Hulu and things like that. But I do think, the future of where food is going, Netflix has a perfect example of it in Chef's Table, where Chef's Table is a fantastic documentary based on, really high quality production values. And, it may not have got commissioned by traditional TV, but it has a place on Netflix and there is an audience for it. And I think that's what's exciting about these sorts of other aspects of media, especially when it comes to food.
Why is it you think people are so obsessed with watching food been prepared and eaten on television rather than people doing it for themselves or eating it themselves?
Well, I think it's, I always laugh because there's an aspect, especially with cookbooks and creating cookbooks, because the amount of people who buy cookbooks versus the amount of people who cook from cookbooks, I think, is quite significant. And I think, looking at where we go with that is an interesting aspect. And it's possibly one of the main reasons I wanted to create a TV show that got people cooking. Meals in Minutes is about really hitting home with everyone across the board. There's so many people who are time strapped. And, when I look at these sorts of coffee table cookbooks, they're beautiful to look through. And I've written 7 or 8 cookbooks at this stage, and I look at how many of them are actually being used, and I like to think that they are. And I think really what the aspect of trying to pull people out of the out of the comfort of just flicking through the book and actually cooking from it is really trying to hone in on what it is that they want to cook and the aspects of life that constrain them.
We're 13 and a half, 14 minutes into this interview. So to finish out in the time, what could you have made that people would enjoy eating now at this time of the evening?
Well, I have a beautiful recipe for saltimbocca alla romana, which is a...
For what?
A saltimbocca alla romana. You have to do it with the accent, you see, Matt.
You're going to have to explain what's in it to me because I'm not familiar with it.
Well, traditionally, it's an Italian dish and it's traditional. Made with veal cutlets, but you can do it with pork fillet, and you bash out slices of pork fillet, you wrap it with a sage leaf and in prosciutto, dredge it in a bit of flour with salt and pepper, and you fry it off. And once they're fried off, crispy and golden and cooked through, you take them out of the pan, throw in some tomatoes and green beans, deglaze the pan with a little bit of white wine, and you simmer that down just until the green beans are cooked through. bring back your lovely salt and boca, those little pork parcels, and that is meals in, I would definitely say, about 14. What did we say? 14 minutes.
You might be easy for you to do that in 14 minutes. I bet you most of us would struggle dramatically. We'd have been about an hour trying to prepare all the things before we even heated up the pan.
Well, I'm sure you could give it a go. In 14 minutes, maybe not, but maybe give them 20 and you'd be grand.
Donal Skeen, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us from Los Angeles. I actually almost feel jealous of you. How long are you in Los Angeles now? Is it nice and sunny there as we're talking to you?
We've been here since January, and I can tell you now, this will make you really happy. It's absolutely grey and miserable at the moment, so I'm hoping it clears up.
Donal Skeen, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.